A couple of announcements real quick. We have the message tonight, amen? Pastor Doug's been teaching on gifts, services, and the way God works. And we're going to continue with that tonight. So let's go to our main text, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1, starting with verses 1. And it says, now about the spiritual gifts, and my Amplified Bible says, the special endowments of supernatural energy. Doesn't that sound good? Brethren, I do not want you to be misinformed. And I think in the King James it says ignorant. All right? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be stupid about anything, if that's a word we can use. You don't want to be misinformed about the things of God. You could be misinformed about, how to operate your DVD player. You could be misinformed about how the remote works in your car. You could be misinformed about a lot of things. But the one thing you don't want to be misinformed about is about how the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts work. Okay, and you're going to see why. This is important. I was talking to Pastor Doug about this. We're having a good discussion about this because I'm teaching, following up what he's teaching. So I had to get his heart and what he's trying to, give over to you guys as he teaches this. But I was sharing with him that this isn't just about letting you know that there are gifts that the Holy Spirit has that we can operate in. This is about letting you know that to move in God's kingdom and to operate in God's kingdom, this is it. These spiritual gifts, this is it. If you never got to go to school and learn the multiplication tables, if you never got to go to college, if you never got to learn how to read on earth, but you decided you got saved later in life, and you feel like God's called you to do something and be something, this right here, the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is what you hook up with to be able to fulfill why you came to earth. Do you realize what I'm saying? Listen, there are many men of old that we read their biographies today that worked in supernatural miracles of God, gifts of healings, working in miracles, that they did not know how to read anything else. They never learned how to read except when they would pick up the Bible, they could read the Bible. So what I'm saying to you is, of everything that we have to retrain how we think. We have to retrain how we train our children, how we think of our life. How many people worked 40, 30, 20 years in a business, to get retirement? But it still is not satisfying. Think about it, 30 years of your life given to something that you didn't even enjoy. But you just kind of did it because you got to have retirement. God didn't send us that. You see what I'm saying? So what we're going to learn tonight is we're continuing about the gifts. But I want you to see, when I'm teaching this, I don't want it to just be, oh, it's great to know that there are gifts of the Holy Spirit. You need to know that you cannot be misinformed about it. All right? You there with me? All right. Now, let's go to verse 8. Okay, and it's just right there in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. And it says, to one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak, which is a message of wisdom, which Pastor Doug covered already, and to another a word of knowledge, which he's already covered as well, okay? And to another, and then understanding according to the same Holy Spirit, to another wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit, to another extraordinary powers of healing by one Spirit, and to another the working of miracles. Okay, so we're going to stop there tonight. We're going to talk about faith, all right, about healings, and about the working of miracles. All right, those are the three. Now we do know, if you haven't, there are nine gifts of the Holy Spirit that we're discussing, you know, we got wisdom, word of knowledge, we got, and then if you go down after the healing, excuse me, and the working of miracles, you'll find interpreting, okay, the prophetic insight, discernment, okay, discerning of spirits, and the interpretation of tongues, all right? These are all given as the Holy Spirit wills. Now let me explain something about the interpretation of tongues in this one. Pastor Doug's going to teach more on it when he gets to that. But I don't want you to confuse it with the language of the Holy Spirit, okay? So you don't have to have like some, the interpretation of tongues in this is talking about somebody gets up and, you know, speak a tongue and somebody interprets it. But it's not talking about your personal prayer life with the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that in some instances, this is a problem. So here's what we're going to go to. Are you okay if I get right into the teaching of these three tonight? Everybody's up on what Pastor Doug's been teaching. It's online if you want to be able to get caught up on what all of it is. Okay, but if I don't get into my part, we're not going to get out of here tonight. So, okay, here's the thing. None of these gifts, the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, cannot operate in your life if you don't believe. Because Hebrews 11:6, let's go to Hebrews 11:6. It's a basic thing about Christianity. Hebrews 11:6, and this is what it says. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if we don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, then we can't have faith. We have no faith in God's word that this is even possible. You understand what I'm saying? So the first thing we got to clear up in our head is about the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is and what he wants to do. So the first thing is this. Let's go to John chapter 14. We're going to go to John chapter 14 and verse 12. John 14:12. And who was talking here? Jesus was talking here, right? He was explaining some things. It says, assuredly I say to you, solemnly I tell you, that if anyone believes in me, he himself will be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. So think about, first of all, you got to believe that you can do greater things than what Jesus just said you can do. And if you read John 14, you look at the verses before, he's explaining what some of those things are, okay? And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled through the Son. So here we see the reason why Jesus is going to go do things that we ask in his name is so the Father will be glorified. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not so we can be bolder, or we can finally defend our faith, or that we can show people that God's real. It's for none of those reasons. It's so the Father, Father God, could be glorified. All right? And I will grant whatever you ask in my name. Okay? If you really love me, you will keep my commandments. And whatever I ask my Father, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you. This is verse 16. Okay? He will give you another comforter. All right? That he will remain with you forever. Now, what does forever mean? Forever, right? When Jesus said forever at that time, was he locking it into when all the apostles die? That's the end of forever? No, right? If I said forever today, if I said something and I said forever, it doesn't mean when I die, it ends, right? I'm not the end of forever, right? Okay? If we wanted to end forever, it would be who the speaker is, Jesus. He's forever and ever and ever. So forever is forever, all right? Okay. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So church, if you are not of the world, then you should be able to receive from the Holy Spirit. Because the only person that cannot receive from the Holy Spirit is who? Of the world. Right? Okay? Because he's the Spirit of truth. All right, let's go to verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. The Holy Spirit, it says in my version, I will not leave you as an orphan, comfortless. The Holy Spirit's here to prove that we have a Heavenly Father, that we're not orphans. So the first thing you've got to realize is the Holy Spirit is here with us on earth. He was sent. When Jesus left, he was sent. Okay? So if we don't get that in our spirit and change our thinking on it, everything else you learn about him will become a theory and not an actual event that could occur in your life. Okay? Now, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, they're all in the upper room, and Jesus, who told them to go up to the upper room? Jesus, right? It wasn't secondhand. It wasn't the women who saw the stone rolled away and went back and said, oh, he's alive. And he said, by the way, go meet him in the upper room. Jesus himself said to go tarry for me, right? They didn't know why. So he instructed them to go there. And when they went there, what he gave them was what? The Holy Spirit. And what happened to them when they received the Holy Spirit? What was the evidence of it? They spoke in other tongues. They spoke in languages that they never learned. And what was the result of the language speaking? What happened? They went out from that room. What happened? They went and started talking in this language they never learned, and they became witnesses, and people got, how many people? 3,000 people got saved. Okay, so you tell me who gets glorified when 3,000 people get saved? The Father. Okay, now here's why I'm saying all this. If the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and spoke different languages through people, do you think that somehow it stopped then? Like that was it. He was a one-man show, one-time hit. Holy Spirit, one-hit wonder. No, the Holy Spirit is God, right? God, we believe God is a triune being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and he never changes and he is forever, correct? God never changes. God's from the beginning of time to the end. There is no time with him. He is forever. So therefore, if the Holy Spirit spoke in other languages through men of those days, will he change now? No, correct? When I was at Lee College, there was a minister that came and he did our big convention, and he was testifying, and it turned out that there was a student there that had just come from China that was sitting in the back of the auditorium. He testified later, and he was about ready. He had packed his bags, I believe, and he was getting ready to leave college because he was having such a problem with the language. He didn't know English that well, and he was just having a hard time. So, but he said he's going to come to convocation or whatever they called it right before he leaves. He's going to come first. And this preacher is testifying that he went to Mexico to preach. And when he got to this church, which was in a, they took him a long time to get there, his interpreter didn't make it. They don't know where he is. Nobody in the church speaks English. And he doesn't speak Spanish. So he said, Lord, well, you know, I came, I obeyed you, I came, but I guess I can't do anything because they're not going to know what I'm saying. And the Lord said to him, get up on the pulpit and preach. You're a preacher, preach. Go and preach. He said, but Lord, I'm going to speak this thing in English. They don't understand. He said, go, open your mouth and speak. He gets up to the pulpit, pulls out his notes, opens his mouth, and every word out of his mouth was Spanish. And he understood everything he was saying. To that day, to the day he was speaking to us, he fluently understands Spanish, can read and write it. That's empowering of who? You could have had, let's say, the most world-renowned professor of Spanish sat in that church that night. And he wanted to know how to speak Spanish. Do you think that person could have taught him Spanish in any amount of time enough to preach a message where people got saved? Never. You see what I'm saying? So even the most educated, the most powerful, the most sophisticated system we have on earth can never do what what the Holy Spirit can equip us to do as believers. So we've got to believe it. So we're going to believe by faith, because without faith it's impossible to please God. We're going to believe that the Holy Spirit was sent to us so we're not orphans, so we can prove that we have a Father God, and that the Holy Spirit speaks languages through us that we did not learn. It is our language between God and us, and to minister to people when he needs us to. Can we agree on that tonight? All right. Now that we're in agreement, we can move forward. Okay? So let's look at the gift of faith. Go with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. So Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, when a certain man crippled from his birth was being carried along, who was laid each day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, so that he might beg for charitable gifts from those who entered the temple. So is this something that this man was used to doing? Begging for money at the gate. This was normal. Every day, he couldn't even go there himself. Somebody actually carried him, put him outside the temple. Every single day. And his purpose for being outside the temple was to get charitable help from people that go in the temple. So picture this. In all of his life of doing this, nobody that has ever passed to go in the temple ever carried him in the temple. Right? He always sat there in his state and he collected what he was used to having. All right? Now, so when he saw Peter and John about to go in the temple, this was not a new sight for him. Here comes two more church people. All right? He asked them to give him a gift. And Peter directed his gaze intently at him, and so did John. And they said, look at us. And the man paid attention to them, expecting that he was going to get something from them. Now here, let's stop for a minute. So here's this man that Peter and John are ready to minister to. But the man's expectation is not what they're about to give him. So what does that mean? It means something more powerful has to come in and intervene here for this to work. It can't be the faith of this man, because this man has none. Because he's expecting them to give him some money. Okay? But they know that he doesn't need that right now, because he got 50 million people doing that for him. He needs something else. Okay? And verse 5, and the man paid attention to them, expecting that he was going to get something from them. Verse 6, but Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, that I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. And he took a hold of the man's hand, his right hand, with a firm grip, and raised them up, and at once his feet and ankle and bones and everything became strong and steady, and leaping forth, he stood and began to walk, and he went into the temple with them, walking and leaping and doing what? Praising who? God. So let's say that Peter and John were multi-billionaires with the fishing business Peter was doing. And Peter comes by this man, and the man is asking him for the natural. And Peter pulls it out. Would it follow up with, and the man leaped and went into the temple and praised God? No. Because Peter would have given him what he naturally could do. But with this working right here was a gift of faith. Wouldn't you agree? This was a gift of faith that came upon Peter and John because, and of course, there was a working of miracles of healing, but a gift of faith had to operate because this man did not expect to do what he did. He expected a gift, right? But what did he get instead? He got the answer that he really was trying to get, but he didn't know how to get it. And what did he do immediately? He went into the temple to praise God. So all these years, this man sat outside of a place that he would like to be, but could never get there himself. And the gift of faith operated, and that gave them the power to speak what they said. And then the working of miracles occurred, healing, right? Because he was sick. And that gave glory to who? To God. I can guarantee you, of all the people that ever went into that temple before this happened, that gave this man gifts, he could identify who would give him what. He knew them. And he'd know, this one will give me $5, that one will give me a 10, let me hear a 20, let me... Speaking of which, by the way, if you'd like to give your offerings, don't forget. Offering podiums back there. But what I'm saying is, all of those people, everybody that ever gave this man anything previously, it was all for their glory. There was never a praising of God for getting from other people. See what I'm saying? They even helped set him up. People carried him, it said. They carried him in a stretcher every day and put him by the temple. Yeah. So the charitable, the gifting stuff is good, but there's got to be a point where people get healed enough to get into the temple themselves so they can praise God. So what do we need for that to happen? We need the gift of the Holy Spirit to operate in us, don't we not? You know, there are some cases where things like that happened, where the word of knowledge happened, word of wisdom occurred, and it gives somebody insight into somebody's life. They got saved and they came to church and testified and glorified God. All the gifts of the Holy Spirit are meant to glorify God, not to bring glory to ourselves. Amen? Because it is so miraculous. So the gift of faith, there's an example of the gift of faith, because this man is looking, expecting something else. So he ain't hooking up with no faith that Peter and John has. He's hooking up with his own needs. But because of the gift of faith in the Holy Spirit, there he goes. All right? Now, here's what made this so extraordinary. See, when this man leaped and shouted for joy and came into the temple and praised God, everybody knew what just happened. Because there's nobody that would come by the temple that wouldn't pass this man. So this was a testimony of all testimonies. So guess what? Peter and John are heading in the temple. So what do you think's happening there? Listen, the gift of faith that just occurred, it's like a catapulting. It gives leverage for the Holy Spirit to open up and to start moving. You see what I'm saying? So here they're coming to minister in the temple, a new thing, because this is the Holy Spirit now. They are not used to this. They're coming in to share about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and one just happened. And they got testimony number one, running into the church, praising God. Amen? You see how important that is? Okay. Number two, the working of miracles. Let's go to Acts 13, verse 9. Acts chapter 13 and verse 9. And this is, we're looking here at an example about the working of miracles. But Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, looked steadily at Elymas and said, "You master in every form of deception and recklessness, unscrupulous and wickedness." Doesn't explain it all that well in the, okay. "You son of the devil, you enemy of everything that is upright and good. Will you never stop perverting and making crooked the straight paths of the Lord and plotting against his saving purposes? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind. So blind that you will be unable to see the sun for a time. Instantly, there fell upon him a mist and a darkness, and he groped around seeking persons who would lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed, or he became a Christian, when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished and deeply touched at the teaching concerning the Lord and from him. Okay? And Acts 19:11. Then it goes into a whole bunch of stuff that happened, but I want to show you this real quick, and then we'll talk about it. Acts 19:11. It says, and God unusual and extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. Now listen to me. The working of miracles can occur not just for people to get delivered from things, but for the enemy to stop doing things. You understand what I'm saying? In this case, he was looking at one of the most wicked men, perverted, a whole bunch of words, unscrupulous, all kinds of crazy words to describe him. And he intently gazed at him. And isn't that something that Peter and John also intently gazed on the man that was sitting at the temple? There is a focus that comes to us when we start operating the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Anyway, that's a sign. Listen. And Paul called him out for all the evil that he was and pronounced to him what would happen to him. And it happened right there. Wouldn't you say that's a miracle? That's more than somebody coming and telling you, well, I'm going to pray that God will do this, this, and this to you, and that will happen to you. Well, that's not going to happen. You see what I'm saying? But when the Holy Spirit is working, operating in a gift, you see it right there. That's the key. When a gift of the Holy Spirit is operating, it's evident right there. There's not a delayed, results, okay? That's what the quickening power of the Holy Spirit does. It's the Holy Spirit, the quickening power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. We don't want to hear that in the next 1,000 years, gradually Jesus is going to come back to life. You just have to believe. I mean, really, the Holy Spirit's power in that week. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, where's that Spirit? In me. It's in us. But the question is, can we believe it? Do we believe it? Without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please God. So if we can't please God in our belief about the Holy Spirit, how are we expecting to live a life where the Holy Spirit and His gift can actually operate through us? It's not going to happen. You see what I'm saying? All right. So do you see how Paul called out an evil source in that community and stuff happened right there? Here's what you need to know. If you're in the presence of someone operating by the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, and they're doing that, you better not side with the person they're doing it to. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, the church life of how people talk about different ministers and different prophets and apostles and whatever, and they jeer and whatever they do to talk bad about what they just did, if they called out somebody or they say something against a spirit that's operating in the town, you better zip it up. Because you weren't there. You don't know if it is a gift of the Holy Spirit that was operating in that moment in time to call that out. You don't want to be on the other side of it. Okay? So we have to be careful. Again, if we don't believe this works and this is true, we will take it lightly. The weight of it will never affect our lives. Here's something I want to share with you too before I go to the next one. You have to know that your reason for being on earth is not to get a job and work real hard at it. That's not the point of being on earth. The point of being on earth is to fulfill what God sent you to do. Now, if the way to get there in the natural is that you need finances to get there, and you need to do, or there's certain doors you got to get in, so there's certain positions on earth that God needs you to hold. For example, Joseph. Joseph had different positions that he filled in the earth so he could have access to where he needed to be to fulfill what God brought him to do. That's a whole different story. But you need to rethink your life. If you have read any book in your life, If you've ever read a book, I don't care if it was a textbook, if it was a novel, if it was some kind of movie book, and you have never read through the Bible, you have just done yourself a whole lot of harm. Do you understand what I'm saying? This Bible contains everything you need to be educated with in order to live on earth and fulfill your plan here. But if you don't know what it says and you don't study it and it's not important to you, then you're going to not fulfill what you came to do. You're just going to be sailing by, just happy to have been through earth. What happened while you were here? You understand what I'm saying? So you got to start taking this seriously. The Holy Spirit is an important part of that. And the gifts. So you could, you know, there are people who never even worked in a world system job, let's call it that, in their entire life. They just preached the gospel. And they fulfilled what God wanted them to do. Because they operated in a gift of faith, a gift of healing, gift of working of miracles. Those can only come through the Holy Spirit. You can't work it up. As a matter of fact, there was a man in the Bible who came to Paul and wanted to buy. Remember? He wanted to buy the power. That was detrimental to him. It doesn't work that way. You can only operate through the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit by believing what God says about it. Amen? Now let's go to the second one, which I skipped, which is healing. Okay? The gifts of healing. Which is funny because I skipped it and I didn't print it either. But the gifts of healing, which in the Bible we know many, Jesus operated in the gift of healing a lot, did he not? We have the woman with the issue of blood. Okay. And the same story that I told you about Peter and John at the Gate Beautiful, that was a gift of healing. Okay. Working miracles, gift of healing, all those coming together. And we have the other one is the woman that touched Jesus' garment, she was healed. Jesus healed a blind man, you know. See, Jesus operated through the gifts of the Holy Spirit just about his whole ministry. There are times when he would say to people, what do you want me to do for you? And that's where their faith was hooking up with the word to pull it out. But there are times when people didn't even know. Like, for example, the man who was sitting by the river, the pool of Bethesda, and he said, oh, well, I don't want anybody to put me in. You know, Jesus is like, you want to be healed or what? It's like, well, yeah, but every time I try to get it, he had a bad attitude. And he had no esteem of his, you know, and there's no self-esteem there. It was all bad. And he said, I don't have nobody to help me, so I guess I'm going to be like this for the rest of my life. Guess who had to show up to help him? The Holy Spirit, right? The gift of the Holy Spirit had to show up to help that situation, because here's this man sitting there with a bad attitude. You know, you could actually help people by just operating the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because they will never get their attitude right to hook up with the word. And they just kind of need that invigorating energy of the Holy Spirit to just wake them up. And if you would purpose to believe it and operate in it, it could actually bring life into your sphere of influence. You know, there are people that are around you all the time, and they're constantly have a bad attitude. I mean, they're just like, somebody could have just walked in and give them $1,000. Oh, well, that's just going to touch half of my bills. Well, it's $1,000 more than you had. Well, that's nice and all, but I wonder what I'm going to have to do for them. How many of you know, you need like the gifts of the Holy Spirit to operate in you. So you can hook them out of that stuff. Then people will start giving glory to God. Thank you, Father. That something just happened to this person. It couldn't have been them, because we know they can't deal with this. But it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the gift of the Holy Spirit will also work in the offices that God ordained, okay? Which is the five offices. You know, you have the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, all those offices, the prophet, the apostle. But it doesn't have to only work in them. That's the key. It can work in every believer. Because if you read 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about that. It's for everyone. It's for everyone that believes. So that's why I said in the beginning, if you don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, this will never work for you. Now, here's why is this important for you to even know? Why even bother? Like, well, I'm never going to work operate in the Holy Spirit. I mean, really, I leave it up to those people. Listen to me. If you don't want to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you're never going to be able to fulfill your call on earth. You will never be able to fulfill God's purpose for you on earth. You have to be able to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Moses operated in the gift of the Holy Spirit because he had a gift of faith operating, did he not? Did he perform miracles? It wasn't by anything he learned, right? We have Joseph. Joseph operated in the gift of the Holy Spirit, did he not? We're talking Old Testament guys here. They fulfilled their purposes, didn't they? Jesus himself operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He fulfilled his purpose. We know that. So maybe in your own life, if you don't even know what you're supposed to do, the first step is to be in the same boat with the Holy Spirit. Get in the same car. Get in the same accord, one accord, with the Holy Spirit. Then he could start taking you places that you need to go. If you're over here and the Holy Spirit's over there, you're living a life that's divided against yourself. Because when we are born again, our spirit man becomes brand new, and deep calls out down to deep. So the Holy Spirit, deep, is calling out to your spirit, deep, and he's giving us instructions all the time. But if we are divided against the Holy Spirit and we think that there's something wrong with him and he is, you know, for other people, we're missing messages and instructions. You see what I'm saying? So in other words, you become divided against your own self. Your flesh man has taken over. And your mindset from wherever you picked it up is taking over to lead who the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was here before the earth was ever created. Do you realize that? I heard this lady speak today, and I've never heard it put this way, but when you really read it and look at it again, you'll see. In Genesis 1, when it said, and God spoke and separated the water. See, he separated the land and the water. She said, do you realize that what was there was a big mud ball? I went, you know, I have never thought of that. If the land and the water was mixed together, if earth and water is mixed together, what do you get? We still visualize it like, you know, there was water on top and land on the bottom. And so when God spoke, you know, the land just kind of like, woof. And the water just went, poof. She said the Holy Spirit actually extracted the water out of the mud ball. Who else do we know that can do that? What machine? They can't even separate oil and water, which naturally separate each other, okay? Oil and water don't even naturally mix. Our human mind can't even separate those two. The Holy Spirit actually separated, pulled water out of mud to create land and water. Do you see how powerful the Holy Spirit is? So do we think that we can operate in life without his power and his gifting? It's crazy. I would be crazy to think that. Do you see what I'm saying? And we're not crazy. So I want you to think about your life and to think about how the gifts of the Holy Spirit function for you. And do you even expect them to do anything? Are you sensitive to the Holy Spirit enough that when he speaks, you can listen and follow through? And you don't have to be some super Christian for this to work. It's for those who are believers, right? You just got to know that if you're born again, the Spirit of God already recreated. You're a new creation in Christ, and the Holy Spirit's already calling out to your spirit. You just got to listen to the right spirit. But if you listen to the earth around you, if John had listened to the person in front of them of what they did for this guy, they would have never did what they did for him. Right? Because you know there were other people coming in. People, this was church time. People were coming into the temple. It wasn't like, you know, a special service and a special time of day that they were going. This was normal because the people brought the guy out at a certain time because that was the busy time at church. That's when all the charitable people show up. Must have been a Sunday. No. Could have been a midweek. Sorry, no, I was just kidding. But what happened, that's the crowd is coming in then. But every day they did it because he said every day they brought him there. So it was an everyday type of thing. And he got a miracle that he didn't even know was possible. So what would happen if we looked at a situation where it's a mud ball? It's a mud ball. We can't see the water. We can't see the land. It's a mud ball. Whose power is going to separate that? I tell you right now, it's not going to be your power. You could be the best scientist that ever landed on planet Earth, and you still couldn't do it. You still couldn't do it. Even if you did it, you couldn't make something out of it. It'll still be a blob sitting there. But God gave us a tool. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has gifts that can operate so we can function and create things on this earth that's necessary for what we're called here to do. And it's up to us to tune in to the right spirit to be able to do that. So the three that we covered tonight is faith, powerful faith, healing, and the working of miracles. And Pastor Doug already covered about wisdom, word of knowledge, and we could have wisdom about people's life, have a word of knowledge. Somebody's always coming to you crying, oh, I hate my life. My husband's horrible. My children are terrible. I'm awful. We're just pitiful. You could just say, Holy Spirit, I need something right now. There needs to be a gift showing up. And pick up some word of knowledge and let the Holy Spirit operate. Separate all that muddy mess. That mud ball that's always around you. Wouldn't it be great if we had that? People were operating in the gift of the Holy Spirit at the disasters around the world, you know? The oil spill, the war places, you know, places with famine, places with crisis. The gift of the Holy Spirit cleared the whole mess up. If somebody would just walk in and work. But we put on these glasses of philosophy and textbook maneuvers and strategies of death. And there's no success. But if you do anything on earth, for my son Gabriel, I'm thinking to myself, if that boy don't even learn what 2 + 2 is, but he knows how to operate in the gift of the Holy Spirit, then I have done my job on this planet Earth for training him up. Yes, I have. Because he can show up at where he needs to be. When God says, this is where I sent you to be at this age on earth, he can show up there and work by the Holy Spirit. Didn't Jesus do that at the age of 12? Because he had to explain to his parents who he was. He said to his mama, woman, don't you know how it's about my father's business? She didn't argue. I think right then she got a clue. You see what I'm saying? So don't get all fussed up and messed up and go back and say, well, I had such a bad life. I did this. I did that. So, you know, I'm just going to hang in for the ride till I die. That's all a lie because the Holy Spirit is what gets you to fulfill what you're here on earth to do. So if you would just hook in and ask God that you operate by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he can get you to exactly where you need to be at this age in your life, at this time in your life, to do exactly what you're supposed to do. And it would have nothing to do with which earthly system you learned about and which job you landed and how many figures you make a year. You know how many people made a lot of figures a year, and for 30 years they've been putting away these figures, and then all of a sudden one day they saw one figure. Zero. All their savings went down to zero for 30 years. The Holy Spirit never will give us a zero. You know why? Because he works with God's word, and God's word says, the Lord says, my word will never return void. So we can never invest in the Holy Spirit and have a zero return. It will never happen. It will never happen. So I'm challenging you tonight, even though I'm teaching on the gifts, there's always a challenge. Listen, if you've never read through the Bible, start now. And before you start reading it, ask the Holy Spirit to show you your part of fulfilling on this earth, so you can learn the stuff you need to know. You see what I'm saying? And you investigate it, and this is what you put all your time into. If you're putting time into other books, into other people's music, into other strategies, which minister did what, which politician did that, which teacher taught this way, it's all for man's benefit. And God never gets the glory. When you can come and say, I learned under the best professor ever, I was mentored by such and such, who gets the glory? It sure isn't God. You know, when Paul was called to the ministry, you know what he did? He said, I didn't go ask any man to teach me. I went away for 3 years, and I was taught by the Holy Spirit. Who got the glory? God got the glory. So I want you to shape up and think consciously, think about your life, where it's going, where you are now, what you've done so far, and can any of it be attained to God's glory? Can any of it be because of the working of a gift of the Holy Spirit in your life? Can any of it be accounted to that? If it can, take it from that point on and keep going. And don't sit down because I've retired, or because I never went to college, or because I lost that job I should have had, or because I'm not good enough, or because I'm silly. You see what I'm saying? You got to now hook in with the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the most powerful force that we have to work with on planet Earth. And that's who, that this is what decides the rewards that we get in heaven. You know, this earth's going to burn up. It's all going to burn up. I don't care what anybody's teaching. You know, there's this new gospel now about, for some reason, the rapture already happened. You know, it happened already somehow. And our job, this is actually in the Christian churches. That when I meet ministers now, I actually ask them if they what they believe about the rapture. I flat out say, do you believe in the catching away? You can't really say Jesus coming back, because they will tell you they believe Jesus is coming back. You have to actually ask this question. Do you believe in the catching away of the saints, where we are actually going to go to heaven? And some people are actually going to go to hell. Because with this new belief now, in the Christian church, the kingdom of God is within you. This is the verse they're using. Kingdom of God is within you. So your consequences on earth is your heaven and your hell. And here's the other part. Jesus is coming back, and we as saints need to deliver to him a new earth. You know all this green earth stuff? You know all this green earth stuff? That's right along with it. So when you find Christian churches and communities that have their own green planet initiative, you need to check out and see what they believe. Because this is part of it. They really believe that they are to make this earth beautiful again, like it was the Garden of Eden. And here's another scripture that they use, that we will have days of heaven on earth. You know, in the Old Testament, where it talks about days of heaven on earth. Those are some of their scriptures. And that we are to present to our master the kingdom. If you find people talking a lot about the kingdom, you need to stop and ask them, before we go any further, do you believe in the catching away of the saints? Because I actually was shocked when we went to a church to get refreshed. They were having a leadership in this area, well, in this region, not right in Palmyra, but right outside, a very large church. And we sat there, and Pastor Doug and I are looking at each other like, um, what? And the man closed his Bible and mocked preachers who actually have to open the Bible to preach. And that was our first clue. And I thought, just something is wrong here. See, the Holy Spirit will help you to discern spirits. Because when we walked in, see, what happens to us sometimes is because we know where we're going, we don't really think that we have to be discerning. You understand what I'm saying? Because we would never think this of this church because we knew the pastor. We thought we believed the same way. We would never, ever question it. But I remember when I walked into the sanctuary, something hit me and I went, something feels dirty here, like confusing. And I thought to myself, well, maybe they're going through something, you know, in the church, and maybe that's what I'm feeling, you know. So I sit down there, and I saw other ministers that were of our same type there. So I thought, well, you know, okay, so this is probably okay because they're there too. Well, here it comes, that was their first time there too. And so Doug and I are sitting there, and I remember this minister, this person, this first time we encountered him, but he kept looking at Doug and I. He would just come look at us because we were not agreeing with anything he was saying. We were just like, I mean, I was just in shock. I was like, what are you, what? And he was just about saying everything except actually saying that, you know, we're not going to heaven. And he was laughing, you know, that he went to a conference and they were all talking about the earth and stuff. And he went up and he said, well, you can't try to fix the earth if you all believe that it's going to burn up. So you might as well fix that first before you try to help the earth. And that's when he gave me a clue. But here's the truth. The whole earth is going to burn up. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, okay? And we're not going to be the ones. We're not going to be the ones that create the new earth. God is. Do you see how you could take glory from God and bring it to yourself? When you decide as a church that we have to present to the master a new earth, you just made yourself the creator. And God shows up. They can't even clean up an oil spill. How are you going to present a new earth? What do you plan to do? You can't even stop forest fires. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care how many trees you plant. It's still not going to fix the problem that just happened over. You see what I'm saying? But this is the lie of the enemy. But if we have the Holy Spirit in us, that spirit of truth will never allow us to receive a lie without showing us first, wait a minute, something's wrong right here. Something is wrong right here. And so we emailed that pastor because we didn't want to think evil if the man really doesn't believe the way his speaker spoke. The pastor got up to the pulpit and said, we love when he comes here. We just love him. Don't you love him? So we emailed the pastor to ask him what he believed. And his response was, I don't get caught up in those details. I just think that we should win souls. Those details are important. And the only way we're going to know those details that people believe like we do, it's the same spirit. You got to find people of like precious faith. That when you sense something is not right, you better stop and say, Holy Spirit, you got to show me. And it's a gift of the Holy Spirit that will reveal it to you, the discerning of spirits. You see what I'm saying? The word of knowledge. Because even, and this minister was never that way. He never believed that before, but he does now. Because in this last day, there's going to be seducing spirits. You see how important it is? So we can't fulfill God's call in our lives and leave out the Holy Spirit and his gifts and say, oh, well, that's for those tongue-talking people or that's for that kind of church. It's for every believer. We need it. We have to have it. Or we're going to end up waiting somewhere for the master to return as we present a brand new earth. How is that even going to happen? It's never going to happen. You know, with that belief, of course, hell doesn't exist because it's in your heart. Whatever your consequence, your life on earth, the bad part of it is hell, the good part's heaven. That's ridiculous. What did Jesus come for? That's spitting on the blood of Jesus. Okay? Because it's Jesus' blood that's in heaven. That's a witness for me. It's his blood in heaven. There is actual heaven. It's not theory and it's not inside of me. There is a heaven. The Holy Spirit is who reveals this to us. So as we learn these things, it's not just something to know as a Bible story to know. Well, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. Let's learn them, children. Come on. No. In Sunday school, you know, we teach the kids nine. No. These are tools that you live on earth by. Amen? Let's pray before we go. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. And I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will be made manifest in our lives this week, Lord, that you will show yourself strong to us. Holy Spirit, I ask you that you will operate through us by your gifts as you would, as we encounter our everyday lives, Holy Spirit, that you will choose us to work through as your believers. And Father, I pray that you will continue to give us wisdom in your word, that you'll give us revelation knowledge as we read and we study your word, that you will continually show us your purpose for us on this planet earth, that we will never ever leave here. Father, I pray that no one in this room or at the sound of my voice will leave this earth without fulfilling every single detail of what you called them to do. Father, I speak to them right now that there'll be a quickening in their lives, Father. Let things be caught up. Let Joel 2:25 happen, that you restore the things that the locusts have stolen from them, Father, that they can have a restoration in their life so that they can move forward by the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit to fulfill and to do everything that you've called them on planet Earth to do. Father, we speak life and life more abundantly. I speak protection and preservation. And Father, I speak that no one will be derailed by the deceiving of the enemy. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen and amen.